listen to God's word. As a Christian, it means that God answers my questions. God will answer us. As a Christian, God didn't tell us to trust in his son for us to decide that, well, Lord, I love you, but I think I have a better idea. I have a better way here. It is to trust in what Jesus says, not in what we think he said. So therefore, you read the scripture of God. It's the voice of God. The whole Bible that we have, my friends, listen. It is inerrant, and it is the word of God. Now, that really bothers a lot of folks who listen sometime, but it's a fact. God tells us something. I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Yet, the most common statement, many times asked in a statement form, is, God, where are you? Let any tragedy take place, and we say, God, where are you? Or, God, where were you? I thought that God told you and me that he would never leave us nor ever forsake us. So he says, I'm always with you. Does it go a little bit back to where we forget about God, but we need to remember God never forgets about us? You get caught up in this world. We get caught up in life. We get caught up in family. We get caught up in all the different areas of our society. But God's the same. God's not going to change. And he's not going to love me any less than he does right now when I mess up. He says, I'm constant. I am a God that does not change. So when change is taking place, what's going on? It is not taking place under the rule of God. Now, I'm not talking about the foolishness of tradition type of changes and all. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the question, God, where are you? He said it. He means it. I am with you always, even now, meaning even until the end of the age. He's talking about in our human existence. And of course, we know that after this existence, we're going to be with him. But he continues to tell us, I'm with you. I'm with you. So have you ever wondered why then that we don't recognize he's with us? Are we thinking more about what we feel about situations rather than what God says? God says, you belong to me through my son. Therefore, I will answer your questions. There was a man by the name of Gideon. You've heard me preach on him many times. And actually, Gideon was a man of small stature. Belonged to the tribe of Manasseh, one of the 12 tribes, which was the smallest tribe of all the 12. So evil had overtaken. The Midianites and all had come in, and they had to hide. And all of a sudden, here comes an angel to the man called Gideon. And the angel is talking to Gideon. And as the angel is talking to Gideon, Gideon has a problem. Have you ever been angry at God? Have you ever been angry? God, you could have stopped this situation. I wonder how many of those situations that we said God could have stopped, that we could have stopped. God doesn't change. He's with us. So does that mean then that we've decided that we know more than God knows? Yeah, many times I'm afraid so. But we get upset, we get angry. And God loves us. Folks, it is okay to ask God questions. It is not okay to confront God's answer. If you're going to ask God a question and he gives you the answer, don't say, well, I don't believe that was God speaking because that's not what I was thinking of. So here Gideon is watching all of the evil come against he and his tribe of Manasseh. Judges 6, verse 13 and 14. Because the angel of God comes and says, the Lord is with you. Now, Gideon's anger is aroused. And listen to what he asks. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Blaming God for evil. God says, I love you. Now, Gideon, I've come to you and I'm letting you know something. I will be with you. Gideon didn't like that because he was angry at God. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? He asked the question, so listen to the answer. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, now this is important for you folks. Go in the strength you have. Let me do it again. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. And then, he says, am I not sending you? Do we not say there's power in the blood? Do we not say and proclaim that God is all powerful? Then why do we whine so much as Christians? The Lord has called us as Christians to go throughout the world. And that world may be just in your own household, folks. To go and proclaim the truth, the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. You tell the world that they can have the peace that I've given you. But that peace will only come through accepting my son Jesus. He paid it all. There is no substitute for Jesus Christ. And Jesus always takes time. Well, you know, I didn't want to bother you, Lord. I bother him all the time, day and night. Because that's my only hope. That's the only peace that I will ever have, is the peace that Christ gives me. But listen to something else about the whiners. Oh, and I don't have much patience with folk. Oh, woe is me. And I'm hungry. Well, you don't look to me like you're very hungry. You've been eating pretty good, just like the pastor. But think of it. Have you ever met the personality that something's wrong all the time? It doesn't matter when you come on them, how you doing today, until you get to the point you're afraid to ask anymore. But here's what God said. Go in the strength you have. Now, preachers, listen to me. Go in the strength you have. Lord, I'm waiting for your strength. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I received all of him that I'll ever receive. It's me holding back from him. I am to trust him. But Lord, I don't have the strength to do this. Lord, I'm dying. I don't have the strength to do it. You never had the strength to do it on your own. An individual cannot proclaim the word of God on his own, for it will be his word and not God's word. You and I are commanded by God to go in the strength you have. Oh, well, I got to work out a little bit, Lord. I'll be ready to take them on. Never had he said, go work out a little bit so he can take them on. He said, go. And you know the Great Commission, which is go into all the world and preach the gospel. Remember that scripture? Okay, here's what the scripture truly says without leaving one of those words out. As you go. It's not when you go. Meaning the Lord is saying, now you belong to me, so therefore as you go, tell them about me. As you go. Not, you know, go into the world and all of this. You and I were commanded by Christ to go. And when we said yes to Jesus Christ, the Lord takes it as, As you go, don't forget. As you go, don't forget. What makes us forget? We get out of God's Word. We attempt to rewrite Scripture that suits us. It's just like the new Bible of the King James is now the Queen James Version for the homosexuals, the lesbian, for that group. They have the Queen James Version. Now, Brother Larry, you got to be careful there. No, I don't. Let me tell you something, folks. You do not use your sin and use that sin to change the truth of God without receiving the wrath of God. I have no right to do that. But the battle is between you and God. I'm not going to go out there and mess with you. I don't have time for that. There's a lost world. I'll tell you, you come, I will share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Homosexuality is sin, pure sin. Same-sex marriage is sin. It is wrong. Abortion on demand and the selling of the children now. Folks, how low will we go before God said, that's enough? Will we, as God's children, stand up, or will we be afraid? You know, there's something always about all the years I spent as chaplain in the prison and jail, crisis intervention and hostage negotiation, all of those years, I cannot count the threats against me. And yet, my wife made a statement many years ago, and that statement was this when she was questioned. Have you ever feared for Larry's life in the prisons or in the jails? She said, I never, not one time, feared for his life until he became pastor. Now, you talk about waking the preachers up. And of course, you will say, well, I don't understand that. When Satan sends someone to stop his word, would he not send them through God's house? Folks, people say, well, you know, I'm the first one at church. No, you're not. Satan is. He goes to church every Sunday. Through the week, he don't even leave this place. And the Lord is trying to help your pastor keep his tongue under control during the week because of foolishness. Don't have time for it. There's a world lost going to hell. And I don't have time for foolishness because I want everyone to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And we need to tell the truth of who Christ is, the power in the blood of Christ. And all he said, get in, go in your own strength. Lord, my tribe is the smallest. I'm of the smallest stature in my own family. What am I to do? Go in your own strength. So Gideon gets out to go in his own strength, and he realizes he doesn't have any strength. And he cries out to God. Well, guess what? God said, fine, I didn't need you to fight that battle anyway. I'm going to fight it for you. Stand back and watch me. Go in your own strength. And you will witness the glory of Christ in your life, in your family. Lord, I am weak. I am worn. I am torn. I can't do this Christian thing. I don't know what to do to convince people I'm a Christian. For one thing, it is Christ who convinces, not you. Don't be telling people what a great Christian you are. And when you see your pastor walk away from somebody in that type of a forum where they're saying that, follow your pastor on that one. Don't have time for the foolishness. People are going to hell. We're losing a nation, a greatest nation ever known, because of sin. We okay sin? Well, sure, it's politically correct. Well, the politicians that are going to be in heaven are not going to be political there. You got it? You and I are called. Gideon, why us, Lord? You know, if the Lord is with us, then why did this happen to us? The next one was Job. Remember, we learn a lot about Job, the man of patience. He was, but he was a whiner. He's just like all the rest of us. Oh, Lord, please, you should have been here yesterday. I was. Where were you? You see, you and I stay connected with our spirit. And our spirit tells our human mind, now this is what the Lord says. We got it? But my spirit is separate from my human brain. Boy, am I thankful for that one. And God says, I will speak to you. So he does. Well, if you don't ask him, you don't invite him in, you won't even let him come in our schools. Now everybody's all upset about these children going to private schools, parochial schools. I'm for it. I'm for getting children education. Do you know that this church, Vine Grove Baptist, if you look behind back here, you'll see steps that go right up to nowhere now, to a neighbor's fence. In the 60s, it was called moral training. And kids from the school would march down here one day a week. And they would come in and they would hear the word of God. A group of Christians right here at Vine Grove Baptist Church loved enough to make sure it was possible for them to get here. And then the government said no more. How's that work for us in this country? Job, why me? Listen to this. Job 3:11-16. Why did I not perish at birth? This is Job whining about the problems. And he was hurting. I would have whined. You know, boils from head to toe, hurt, pain continually, sitting in the ashes, wife disgusted with him, his friends come and blame everything on him, and God himself said, I turned him over to Satan for a while. Okay, now listen. Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? Or why was I not hidden in the ground like a stillborn child, like an infant who never saw the light of day? Why wasn't I, God? Look, I'm born to nothing but agony. Job 38:4, God answered that question. And he did it this way. Where were you, he's talking to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And you'll see that God goes down through a whole litany of where were you when I did this and that. And at the end of it, Job says, I will speak no more. For he had realized, he had questioned God, and he was sorry. And his friends sure didn't help him out any. A lot of people will blame your situation on a sin that you have in your life or have had. Let me tell you something about sin according to Scripture. When I said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I believe in his word, and his word directs me to know past, present, and future sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven on the blood of Christ. Not on me keeping a whole bunch of rules that nobody else is keeping, and half the time are made up. The Pharisees did that all the time. They did it to be noticed. They did it for financial gain. They did it for pride. And then they ran face to face in with Jesus. And he laughs at them and calls them snakes and fox. As the lady I remember telling you all said, you know, that wasn't a very nice thing. That's not a Christian statement to make. When Jesus made those statements, you all have to figure that one out yourself. God uses evil and suffering not to drive people away from him, but to draw people to him. He will allow it to go on. He doesn't tempt anyone to sin. But he allows this to go on to make us stronger. Have you ever felt like saying, Lord, I'm strong enough, I'm tough enough? Just like with a computer, I do not want to learn any more programs. You know, Lord, I got this. And the Lord says, no, I got it for you. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. Take them to the Lord and leave them there. The heart of man is evil continually, God said. But I have overcome the world for you. I have overcome all for you. Don't we realize our focus is on what Christ has done, not what we have done? 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For God can use sorrow in our lives. He allows it to come. Have you noticed we bring a lot of it on? Do you ever notice a lot of stuff we bring on ourselves, right? Okay, shake your heads. God can use sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. We will never forget that kind of sorrow. You get to a point in life where it's what we call bottoming out. You're down there. You're hurting. You're in the ditch of life. And we will refer to it, I couldn't get any lower, but yes, you could have. And you're down there and you're recognized through your sorrows, through your questioning God, or the questions you ask God, through all the stuff of life, and you say, I need a change. How do you recognize that? Some people don't have to go that far to recognize it. Others, they stay down there for a long time, refusing to recognize it. It's much easier for us to say, you change. When you change, then be what I think you ought to be, then we're going to be fine. I don't want to be fine with you then. I want to be the one that Christ has called me to be. The Lord says to us, that type of pain, I remember it well in my call to preach. And the pain and the agony in that ditch was so great that I fell to my knees. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, when you've been chastised by God, you feel great at the end of it. For then you ask the question, what do you want me to do? And he always answers. There is never a time, Christian, that you've asked God and he hasn't answered. All the times you think that's happened is because you closed your ears to the answer. It's not what you wanted to hear. God took the very worst thing, his son on the cross. The very worst thing, Jesus crucified, and brought out of it the very best thing. Now, do you have that powerful thing against you about like Jesus did on the cross? No. So God will take whatever the pain is in you, and God will use that to show you the best thing that's ever happened to us is a who? Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus. Jesus was 100% God. All his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's a good thing. As a kid growing up, I remember getting upset hearing how people treated the Lord. You know, and then in my little cocky childhood manner would say, you know, I wished I could have been there. I would have stood up for him until I realized human nature, human hurt. None of us. Different, just different names for us. All of us have all of that humanity we have to deal with. And it ain't pretty. The Word of God says, I'll give you an answer. And in order for us to get that answer, we have to hear God. Let's pray. Father, once again, we praise your holy name for your love, for your peace. I ask, Lord, as you touch our lives, you will give us the courage and the boldness to continue to stand with you and for you. Thank you, Father, for never leaving us nor ever forsaking us. Help each of us to encourage one another. Father, thank you for putting up with us. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you tell us just use the strength we have and you'll take care of the rest. We praise your name and ask, Father, that as you touch hearts, you touch those hearts for a deeper commitment, a loving commitment to you and your service. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.